IVM.
Folks, welcome to Paisa Paisa. I'm your host, Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter. And after a really long time, we're talking to a neobank. Yes, my guest, Jitendra Gupta, founder and CEO of Jupiter. We are talking about banks, neobanks, the banking experience, and much more right after this short break. And welcome back. Jitendra, welcome to Paisa Paisa. Thank you so much for doing this for our listeners. And then my own thanks for your support to Paisa Paisa. Folks, regular listeners would know that Jupiter was a sponsor a while ago of Paisa Paisa. So welcome, Jitendra.
Thanks, Anupam. Thanks for inviting on the show. It's really, really pleasure to be on the show.
Great to have you here. I mean, you know, it's been what, more than a year since Jupiter launched?
Yeah.
You had some 1.5 lakh requests for early access last year. What's the journey been like? Any numbers you want to share, or, you know, you plan to hit 1 million very soon?
So coincidentally, 24th of June 2021, we launched, and right now we are what, 22nd?
22nd.
So it's almost a year, exactly a year rather. So I think we went live then, and we hit like almost 1.3 million users as we speak.
Oh, wow.
So this is literally like as of yesterday. It's been a roller coaster journey, I must admit that. I think we received like 1.5 lakh requests before we launched. We were like quite overwhelmed with that. And we thought that this is going to be the easy one. But I think as soon as we went live, we started seeing the issues around like how customers expect service, and they think that if it is a neobank, everything will be like super instant, without realizing that let's say if a merchant has to refund, it's not like just because we are a neobank entity, the refund would be like at a fraction of a second. It still takes the cycle, it still takes the regular flows and all of that. So I think for the customers also a lot of expectation reset, and I think overall it's been a great, great ride. I would say that we expected 1 million users to hit by like in at least 24 months. We could not believe that we would hit in less than a year. The customer feedback has been really, really encouraging and motivating for us. People are really liking the service. People are liking the overall experience of the app. People are like, the consumers are actually talking about it like this is the first time banking is changing. The other ripple effect I see of this whole thing is like even the private banks in India, which have seen our offering, now they have also kind of started upping their game. So net-net, I see that overall for the ecosystem in banking, I think the consumer experiences are getting elevated. So otherwise, before that, there was no pressure on the bank to improve the service, improve their digital offering. So I think overall, it's a very, very positive effect which we are seeing.
Yeah, I mean, if I had the Federal Bank guys, I should, you know, I would want to ask them when was the last time they had 1 million accounts being opened in about a year's time? Is it some record of sorts or?
Yeah, so even Federal Bank team, they have been like very supportive in this journey, and they are also saying that they're pleasantly surprised with this growth, and I think a lot of learning for them, their processes and systems are being more streamlined because of this partnership. So I think net-net, it has worked out well for both sides.
Sure. Let's talk about the neobanking ecosystem that's been developing in India. You know, probably if you go back to 2015 or 2016 with the India Stack, I remember, I think the first neobank on Paisa Paisa was Vinay Bagri at Neo when I was in Bangalore in 2019. Things have come a long way, right? I mean, what's your view of the progress that we've made so far?
Yeah, so in fact, I think I would say that 2019, when this whole fundraise happened, especially by us, and it was like one of the fundraise which was quite talked about. And you know, in India, there is generally a herd mentality in entrepreneurs where, okay, the one company raised fund for a particular segment, then 20 more mushroom up in that segment to raise money because they see that this is the flavor of the VC industry. So we saw the similar trends that there were almost 20 plus startups started claiming that they are also starting neo banking services, or they are the, or even the lending company started calling them as a neo bank, and all of those kind of stuff happened. Fast forward, I think people realized that it's not as easy as it sounds, and fundraising is not the success criteria for this sector. So now I see only 3 or 4 players remaining out of those 20 plus companies which were claiming to be neobanks, which is like Neo is one of them, and like Pi and Razorpay and Bank Open and all of that. So I think there are not many players left now. So a lot more sanity per se in terms of what's happening. Second, it is also becoming clearer that even though like you're not a regulated entity, but your obligation towards consumers, your obligation towards compliances and all of that are almost similar, if not same. And what that means is the work needed to do is like much more onerous than a regular fintech company. So I think it's a learning for each of us in the industry that how to set your compliances right and all of that. And the other thing which we are seeing already is that a lot of regulatory changes. So so it's not been an easy ride per se. Like on one side, you're trying a new business, new sector. On the other side, the regulations are changing almost every month. So quite much roller coaster, I must say.
Yeah, lots of fun. Huh? This BNPL thing that just hit a lot of people yesterday, it just come out of the blue. What's your view on regulation? I mean, you just spoke about it. Let's talk in a little bit of detail just as we go into the break.
Sure, Anupam. So I think what tends to happen is, especially in Indian regulatory side, the Indian regulators, on day one, they don't define the rule of the game. They let innovation happen. They see what are the good sides, bad sides of the innovation. And once the innovation has reached to a certain scale, that's when they try to regulate in a right way. Now, the problem statement is sometimes these innovations grow so fast or so exponential that even it goes beyond the understanding of the regular regulatory landscape that how to regulate. And in that situation, they're left with no choice but to come with a hammer approach, saying that, okay, let me just put a hard approach, what's possible, what's not possible. And I think if you look at in last 1 year, especially during COVID times, we saw so many lending companies mushrooming and giving loans to people who could not afford credit or do not have the appetite for credit. And then this whole bad recovery practices and a few cases which were abnormal around suicides and all of that. So I think those happened and this really alarmed the regulator. And so now they're left with no choice, in my view, but to go with the hammer approach to curb all these high interest rate practices or the bad recovery practices and all of that. But the impact of that is felt even by people in the ecosystem were genuinely trying to do a good job. But unfortunate part is the regulator does not differentiate one entity versus another. For them, the regulation cuts across. So yeah, so it's like I was talking to one of my investor friend and the guy was telling me that hats off to Indian fintech founders that despite so many turbulences, they keep their head high and keep building. I think that's when I look outside India, I would say that building a business in India in fintech space is like way, way more tougher than other parts of the world.
How would you compare the entire CitrusPay experience to this?
So I think CitrusPay journey was like first time founder. That being said, regulations were so light, it was way easier to build a business at that time. Capital was less in the market for any player, including us. But that maintained sanity in talent hiring, in building the product right. This journey, there is a dual pressure. One is the lot of capital availability, so growth pressure is there. And second is the regulatory pressure. Because the regulator is like way more active and nimble than your startup. So I think it's like balancing between investors' expectation or your team's expectation around growth and regulatory nimbleness has not been easy.
Imagine that, huh? I mean, the central bank being more nimble than startups. Oh, okay, folks, so we'll take a small break here. On the other side, we'll talk about the app, the features, the road ahead, and much more right after this short break. Don't go anywhere. And welcome back. So, Jitendra, now let's talk about the product, okay? What's that journey been like for your customers? The most used features, the learnings, the insights, how have customers benefited from Jupyter? All of that. Let's talk about that.
Sure. So if you look at it, when a first thought comes to your mind around having another bank account, I think the thoughts revolve around, oh, it's too much of work, it's too cumbersome. I think these are the few initial thoughts, and that's why as a consumer, you tend to avoid trying another bank account. So what we did as a company was that let's take that effort out by making the product journey as seamless as possible to try out the product by the consumers. And so today, the onboarding experience of the product, I must say that itself is a USP, because any customer can open their bank accounts in literally like 3 to 4 minutes at like without speaking to anyone else. So that's the beauty of the product. And that's why this whole friction of how many accounts per day can be opened, I think that no more exists. Second, in terms of product features, so I think one of the philosophies which we have taken around the product is that the bank account is kind of an operating system for your finances. So any money moving in and out happens through the bank account. So your money might be moving out towards payments, towards investments, towards other like your bill payment obligations and all of that. And money moving in could be transfers and salaries and somebody paying money to you. So you know exactly where you stand in your financial life. You know exactly what are your spending habits. And we say that how do we bring all of those experiences at a single place? So one of the features in our app is like the money section, where you can actually track all your bank accounts. So if you have like 5 or 6 bank accounts, all balances show up at one place. Second, you can track all your investments. So if you have like invested into mutual funds or stocks and all of that, that you can track real-time performances of those portfolios. If you have any loans, you can track real-time what's the loan outstanding, what's the EMI, when is the due date, the reminder setting around that, and all of that. And the last one is whatever you're spending from the Jupyter account, you can actually see insights around which merchant, which category, how many transactions. It sometimes very cutely prompts you also, hey, you're overspending on dining, take care of your health. I mean, these are the small cute nudges which our product team keeps sending to users. But the idea is that how do you drive consumers towards the financial wellness rather than just saying that this is a dumb bank account and you should not do anything more. We want to have a kind of a journey for the user where start with a bank account, start tracking your finances, get the insights from us, and then gradually we can influence your behavior by giving your recommendations, and that behavior influencing happens towards reaching the financial wellness.
Yeah, let's go a little bit deeper into this with the account aggregator network, because here I'm assuming, let's say that I have an account with Jupyter, but my DMAT is stay with an HDFC bank, you're still able to pull that in. Similarly, that's for right. Loans, I have different products at different places. I might have insurance with X and a loan with Y and my depository account with Z and my broking account with whoever. What's happening out here? I mean, what can our listeners look forward to if they want like one central space, like this is my dashboard and this is what's happening in my financial life or financial wellness, like you call it?
Yeah, so exactly, Anupam, that has been the idea of Jupyter app, that how do we first allow consumers to put everything in one place, which today itself is a big problem, that consumers have all their finances very, very fragmented. There's not a single place where they have a view of all the finances, because when you're making a financial decision, you make those decisions in isolation without knowing the exact financial situation. So we tried doing that. And I think the account aggregator framework is going to be game changer in my view. So today we tried doing that by sourcing some data from your SMS, sourcing some data from asking you, sourcing some data from bureau. So we do all of that. But I think account aggregator framework will more streamline that data sourcing into a single place, which is more real time and which is more up to date. So I think it's going to be game changer. So today I must say that like 60 to 70% of your financial information, we are able to help you with at putting at one place. And once this whole AI becomes fully effective, we will be able to help you with 100% of that information.
Very interesting. Let's go to that. Let's talk about your future plans. I read in interviews that you're, you know, looking at mutual funds, you're looking at lending, pretty crowded places. So what's the plan?
Sure. So the way we look at a banking app is that a customer's expectation from a banking app is threefold. One is deposit money. Second is maximizing returns on your money. And third is borrowing when you need. That is a simple expectation. So, and I'll give you some data points. So today, almost 80 to 85% of mutual funds are still being invested through banking apps or bank interfaces. Similarly, like 70% or 75% of the loans are still being given through banks, banking apps or the banking interfaces, which means, and despite banks sell regular plans, despite banks take more time, despite bank charge processing fees, there are less flexibility around repayments in loans. And the reason why this behavior of the consumer is because there is an inherent trust of the consumer in those apps and inherent expectations. So we believe that while, yes, there is enough crowd out by fintech companies, but we believe that since the consumer expectation or behavior is that I want to avail from my banking app first choice or first port of call, we believe we will be able to have a fair share of play there. In terms of offering these new products to the consumer, that's a baseline expectation a consumers have. Now, to answer your question very, very specifically, that what are we doing next? Yes, we are launching the investment platform literally in next 2 weeks. So, wow. So we would be launching that for customers. Similarly, we are working on our lending offering, which we would be launching in a month's time. In fact, on the lending side, we already launched a very interesting product for consumers recently, which we haven't started marketing yet. So for consumers, we give a salary account offering to the to them, where if it is a salary account, if Jupiter is your salary account, you get a on-demand salary option. So which is like, let's say you work 20 days and you want to withdraw your salary for 20 days, you would be able to do that. Without going through this whole process of loan, KYCs and all of that. So, while yes, this is a short-term loan for sure, but the ease of, hey, this is my earned salary, just press of a button, money's in the account. So, you don't have to worry about processes and all of those kind of stuff. So, that's the kind of offering which we're continuously thinking from a consumer lens standpoint.
But, you know, how do you build the trust element in lending on the tech side? I mean, as a consumer product, because so many stories going around of people who discovered, you know, some unknown loan that boom came in through their CIBIL score. And this is someone CIBIL report, a credit score report, let's say. And these are people who actually know that there is something called a credit score and you can actually go and get your credit report. Tons of people who don't even know that. How are you going to get that trust? Because I don't know how the market is. You probably know better than me.
So you are absolutely right. I think so there are two parts to the thing. One, do you need to earn trust when you are lending? Unfortunate part is the reason people fall prey to the lending apps because you don't
the irony in that. I'm the guy giving you money and yet I have to earn your trust.
So I think that is the there's the demand of the credit products is so high that the consumer end up taking money from anywhere and everywhere where they are getting money from. That's unfortunate. But I think for us specifically to earn the trust of the consumer, I think this whole bank account approach really played out well, because bank account, you are first giving the money. So you are parking your money with us. Basically our partner bank through us. And I think that helps us earn trust, because we have to ultimately service that consumer. We have to ensure the security of the consumer's money. We have to ensure all payments go through reliably. We have to ensure any disputes get resolved real time. So we've already done actions on our part. So when we offer any new product, we have to do lesser effort compared to any other lending fintech.
Very interesting. You know, this kind of reminds... Do you have conversations with your parents? I mean, you know, when I think about this, do you have conversations with your parents on the lines of, you know, in their time, taking a loan, it used to involve going to a bank, making a file, getting it approved, etc. And today, you want a loan on your salary, boom, it's what? It takes less than 5 seconds. It's technology, you know, I'm just trying to grapple with that.
So, unfortunate part is my parents never got eligible for a loan. So, that's the unfortunate part. But... you're right that the world has come almost 180 degree, where like waiting for loan, pleasing the branch manager, asking for favor from the branch manager. I still remember in my childhood, a branch manager coming for the wedding used to be a big thing. So that's from those days. Now you don't want to meet the branch manager. You don't want to see his face. Because your perception is going to sell me something which you don't want. So, I think the world has changed. Similarly, the consumer's expectations have also changed. And thanks to technology around, you look at food delivery apps, you look at grocery delivery apps, you look at cab riding apps. I think the consumers have also changed their expectations. And in fact, they expect this. So, it is no more a miracle. But they expect this. So if you now tell them that you have to wait 3 days to get a loan, the consumers get upset rather. So it's the consumer's expectation and behavior which is different in today's world.
Okay. Winding up this episode, Jiten, see, there's one financial inclusion piece that's playing out, you know, across towns, cities, villages, tier 3, tier 4 towns, where the government and in fact a lot of banks are getting people into the banking network. Okay, so let's keep that in mind because that's a very critical requirement for our country to move forward, getting more people within, you know, the whole financialization of savings thing. On the other side, you've got what you're doing, the tech side, the tech layer, neobanks, banks. Where do you see the banking sector going forward? You just spoke about branch manager. A lot of things still require us to go to branches and not the best of experiences. Where do you see India sector going for, I mean, India's banking sector going forward?
So I think the future is digitization for sure. Are we ready for 100% digitization? The answer is no. That being said, if you refer to the HDFC annual report, HDFC Bank's annual report, they published last year that 80 to 85% of their transactions, payment transaction or credit transactions, happened digitally without visiting the branch by the customers. That shows the quantum of digitization which is happening in India. The last 15% of transactions which are in cash or branch side of the things, I think in my view that will take like 2 to 3 years minimum to reach to that stage. But if you visit any village of India today, they have smartphones, they have Reliance Jio or Airtel connectivity, and plus 4G, right? They're watching YouTube. The YouTube consumption, if you look at it, has grown almost like 30x in last 1 year. So I think that's the reality of new digital India. So from a banking sector regulation standpoint, I would be really surprised if Indian regulators don't come up with a digital banking regulations in next 2 to 3 years. I believe that they should come because they also see the same data. In fact, the payment vision document, which you see, which was released last week, they have mentioned that the Indian digital payment should triple in next 3 years. And wow. I think that's a massive thing. We thought that we are already booming. They're saying from here in next 3 years, it should triple. That shows the adoption, which even regulator is expecting from India or digital India.
Wow. I can imagine what that must... you know, what that would look like going forward. Because what, we are number, I don't know, you know, for...
We are already number one in, when it comes to digital payments in the world.
I mean, but are we faster or if I compare ourselves to China, I thought they were also doing pretty good. So,
We are ahead of them.
How about that, folks? So, on that very positive and very optimistic note, that is a wrap on this episode of Paisa Paisa. As you guys know, you know, we love to cover the financial inclusion piece of the story. And we've done a lot of episodes in the past with, you know, firms like LaborNet, Pinbox Solutions, Spice Money. And we'll keep on doing that journey. That is a critical piece, right? Then because you spoke about villages and them having 4G phones and data consumption out there is through the roof. That entire piece, once it comes in, because the rural population is really high, I'm not sure how many of them are still banked. that could transform a lot of things, right? And technology can play a big part there.
That's right. Yeah. So I think this whole the cost of account opening in a physical manner can clearly be taken off because the data access is there. The digital, the internet access is there in villages. So now you can actually, without incurring additional costs, you can open the bank account seamlessly and give the same experience what an urban consumer has, or same products what an urban consumer has to a village or to a town consumer as well. So I think digital can really change the service delivery model for that matter, without worrying about how many branches, the cost of the branch, is it justifying the BC network and all of those kind of nuances.
Yeah, folks, so that is a wrap on this episode of Paisa Paisa. My guest, Jitendra Gupta, founder and CEO at Jupiter. Jitendra, thank you, really. Thank you so much for doing this for our listeners.
Thanks, Anupam.
And listeners, thank you for listening to this episode of Paisa Paisa. If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IBM network. You can listen to us on the IBM Podcast app or ibmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are IBM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to me, I'm your host, Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter. Folks, thank you, really. Thank you so much for listening to Paisa Paisa.
No material on the show should be considered as financial advice. The material on the show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any investment decision.